Welcome to the Manny Podcast, episode 71, Terrell's Putting His Shoes On. Talking about the glory of your job, discipleship in your job today.
Got a book.
Not important.
Got a book coming out.
It's not important.
Not important. You know, so don't listen.
None of us have jobs, right?
Yep.
None of us. Not everybody. We especially learned exactly how to follow Jesus in our jobs.
Yep, so. Not even relevant.
You can probably just skip over this podcast.
Yeah, just skip it.
But not really, because it's super important.
Actually.
You're going to love it.
Love you.
Opening up his check, Jelly of the Month Club. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Okay, good.
That'll resonate with the people quite a bit.
Uh-huh. I think we can start it off with that last little bit in this last subchapter.
Go for it.
The cultivation of oneself, one's family, and one's workplace and community, especially the community of believers, thus becomes the center of the focus for the apprentice's joint life with his or her teacher. It is with this entire context in view that we most richly and accurately speak of learning from him how to lead my life as he would lead my life if he were I. So, he starts off, the glory of my job, but let us become as specific as possible. Consider just your job, the work you do to make a living. This is one of the clearest ways possible of focusing upon apprenticeship to Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus is crucially to be learning from Jesus how to do your job as Jesus himself would do it. New Testament language for this is to do it in the name of Jesus. Once you stop to think about it, you can see that not to find your job to be a primary place of discipleship is to automatically exclude a major part, if not most, of your waking hours from life with him. It is to assume to run one of the largest areas of your interest and concern on your own or under the direction and instruction of people other than Jesus. But this is right where most professing Christians are left today, with the prevailing view that discipleship is a special calling having to do chiefly with religious activities and quote-unquote full-time Christian service. But how exactly is one to make one's job a primary place of apprenticeship to Jesus? Not, we quickly say, by becoming the Christian nag in residence, the rigorous, I'm going to stop right here. So, on that second paragraph, but this is right where most professing Christians are left today, with the prevailing view that discipleship is a special calling having to do chiefly with religious activities and full-time Christian service. I actually like the sentence that he has here is, you know, failing to enter discipleship with Jesus in one of the most major like aspects of time in your life does mean you will outsource that to either your own doings, or you are going to outsource that to somebody else that you are going to disciple under instead. Thoughts, Phil?
Well, he's just drawing out the problem with the concept of discipleship that we've come to accept, which is the wrong, incorrect view of it, and how there's only a set of jobs to which discipleship is thought of as the job itself is becoming more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's just totally false.
Yeah.
It's totally false, and it has nothing. It reduces everybody else's day job to their gift to the church being make money to give to the church.
Yes.
That's all. That's the only part of your life that will be, that Jesus can use.
Right.
Is the, the tithing margin of it.
Yes.
So people legitimately believe that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing because they're able to give 10% to their church. building.
Yes.
And therefore, that's their offering. Like, yeah. It's not who they are at their job. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not learning how to do it as if he were they at their job. And so, like you said, but it's not that they're not being discipled at their job.
Right.
They're just not being discipled by Jesus. They're being discipled by their supervisor or their coworkers.
Or the books they're reading or the podcasts they're listening to.
Right. Or whatever. Or the things that they're doing in the middle of the day to medicate themselves because they hate their job. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Like whatever it is.
Yeah, midday beer drinking. Not that that's
the,
a problem.
Yeah, the relationships or the drama or the whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're definitely not learning how to be a Christian person who happens to be a manager or a home inspector or
yeah
any of those things, a preschool teacher, right? Any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You're not, that's not something that, well, and I think that for most people, that's not even a problem because they don't think that that's possible. Like, it's not, it's, you know, well, I'm not a pastor, you know.
Right.
I'm not a youth minister. That's where you think. You think that, you know, jobs where you're able to be, like, I'm able to just go hard after Jesus and get paid for it. Like, well, we have those kinds of jobs in our society, unfortunately.
Yeah, we do.
And so, and just, if anybody's saying that that's not a problem, like, please send me an email and I can explain to you why that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought we've already talked at length about why that's a problem.
Yeah, I feel like we've kind of.
But the discipleship thing is the biggest reason why that's such a large problem.
I agree.
And back whenever we became Christian people, which is what that feeling was.
Yeah.
You know, it's what that was. Our thought was like, God, man, you know, like we're excited about Jesus. We're excited about the things of the Spirit. We're excited about the Bible. Well, yeah, man, that means I'm called to the ministry.
Yeah.
That's all that was the only option.
Yeah.
If you felt, you know, excited about this stuff, well, then you go to Bible college and you get a Bible degree and you get into the pipeline of getting paid to love that stuff.
Yes.
And it's so confusing, man. It's so confusing.
Yes.
It's utterly confusing. It just is.
Right.
When it's like, no, like to be a Christian person means to walk with him, be with him where I'm at right now, by the Holy Spirit's power, and learn how to approach all of this with him, learn how to think about all of this with him, learn how to pray through all of this with him. I don't know. Like, I would say that the biggest, like some of the biggest steps forward in my discipleship to Jesus were learning how to be a police officer as he would.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, it seemed like things got accelerated for me in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Working through the things that you were having to work through.
Yeah.
Understanding the difference between the law and the gospel in freaking real time. Like yes. It was paramount. Now, the beautiful thing is that wasn't how most of the people approached the job.
Nope.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's entirely possible for you to continue doing what you're doing right now and miss the boat completely.
Mm-hmm.
And become a disciple of anybody other than Jesus at that job.
Yes.
Which is the only other option, right?
Yes.
Or multiple someones.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're wasting a lot of time, is what Willard's saying, if you're not even taking this as a possibility.
Right, right. Yeah, the amount I think that we miss, well, I think the amount of categories, once again, you'll hear us say that a lot if you're just kind of tuning in new to the podcast. A lot of the categories that are created in our life are due to this reason, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd say this is one of the largest proponents to categorization is the introduction of, you know, monetizing, you know, the Christian life. It's I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe there was a time where it was okay. You know, I don't know if things are just coming to a point, but the end result is that it's created this weird hybrid of no discipleship at all. You know, like where Willard writes this very pointed book, because the reality is that almost everybody has no category for Jesus being teacher in all of our things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm obviously like, I'm here too. You know, I've taken that bait. I've operated my life in that way for a long time as well. And the beauty is that, that just means that there's a lot of room in my life today to operate under the discipleship, the teaching of Jesus in the way that I do my job today, and approach it like that and become like him in what we do. And the the shocking amount of non-importance to get paid for being Jesus' disciple in the way that I do my job today that bridge needs to be gapped in everybody's understanding today. Because even if you are spiritually gifted at specific things, and everybody is, those things will grow doing your job today. You don't need to seek out weird things and places and people that will employ you to make that happen. Jesus can do that for you today, being a throw it out there, you know, a mover, a police officer, a construction guy, a garbage gatherer, a lawyer, a doctor. Like, he can make you more of that stuff today. And no, that's not for the end of just to give money to specific people. And maybe you don't even view it that way. That would be great if you don't view things that way. It's just that, unfortunately, the majority of people who would run a Christian label today, that's exactly how they view monetary and vocation. And that's just, it's not helpful. And it creates so many weird approaches to work.
Yep.
And we're here to say that Jesus is teaching the kingdom is available at hand.
Yep.
Right now, and you can enter into that.
those who
knock,
yes,
and seek, the door will be open and you will find. There's no exclusion to that. He doesn't actually put, you know, a specific amount, people,
right,
things, time there. He just says it. And so I agree. the danger here, and this goes even past, like, not, and I feel like we've definitely talked about this, but this does go past just, you know, the professionalization of Christianity. This just goes into everybody, everything. Like, maybe more of you have wrapped your brain around this specific thing, but you're still operating via other people tutoring you, right, into the thing that you're doing today. Well, like, where's JC and all that stuff? You know, like, is he excluded from this portion of your life? Which, if you're like most Americans, you know, and I mean, quite frankly, I mean, well, yeah, most first world countries, things like that, like, you're going to have the majority of your life, or a good portion of your life, even if it's not in America, where it's probably more so, you're going to have a good portion of life that has to do with your vocation today and every day. And it's easily the most bang for the buck
yep,
amount of time for him to teach you how to do things, you know,
yep,
how to operate. So it's all just be careful what we outsource today, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you have to have the actual concept in your brain that this is your workplace, your vocation, your day job no matter what it is at this moment, it's not a vacuum. Like this, no, it's not a neutral space.
Yeah, amen.
Like it just isn't. Like
no.
you're somebody's teaching you
something.
How to become
yep.
more like themselves or somebody else.
Yeah, this is
that's
yes.
just true.
Yep.
100%. So you're being a disciple of somebody, something, some idea, or several. Or you can take the approach today of I'm going to be discipled by Jesus where I'm at.
Yeah.
And so that would be helpful if everybody would understand that and actually live into that.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And so, so Willard goes on to talk about what this looks like and what it doesn't look like. It clearly does not look like being the, you know, Christian nag in residence, the rigorous upholder of all propriety and the dead-eye critic of everyone else's behavior. So this is not bringing law into the workplace. This is not being a holier-than-thou kind of person today. Because you wouldn't do that normally, right? And JC, just he's not going to lead you there. If that hasn't been clear for the entirety of this book, then you should probably start over. That's fine. A gentle but firm non-cooperation with things that everyone knows to be wrong, together with a sensitive and non-officious, non-intrusive, non-obsequious service to others should be our usual overt manner. This should be combined with inward attitudes of constant prayer for whatever kind of activity our workplace requires and genuine love for everyone involved. That's a really easy way and low barrier to entry, kind of for your whole life, is to just start talking to Jesus about it.
Mm-hmm.
We speak with Jesus. What's prayer? The conversation of mutual concern with us and Him. And so if you don't pray for work, people that you are immediately in contact with, and that you're operating with on a daily basis, that's some pretty low barrier to entry, like low-hanging fruit. Like, dude, let's start here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty... And honest to God, once you start doing that, you're probably going to find that everything just kind of goes with that. You know?
Yep. Well, you have... hopefully, you would all remember the previous podcast where the whole point is that being a Christian person is not... being the critic.
Right.
It is not pushing your pearls on anybody. The whole point is to become yourself. Like, let Jesus work with the material of the day and give that material to Him. Like, that's the difference, man. That is a really big one, you know. That's probably very, very misunderstood by most, is that, look, man, like there's a lot of work. If y'all are anything like myself, like there's a lot of work, soul work and character work and heart work, learn to be learned within your own life and body and mind that, I mean, to spend your time critiquing or being worried about other people, just, I mean, there's really no time for that. You know what I mean? Like, it just, in fact, it's almost where that's not even important at all.
No.
At this point. Like, you should just become an actual Christian person first. You know? Maybe there will be a time down the road where Jesus can actually use you to address some of the issues that are happening broadly.
Maybe.
Maybe. But probably there are so many issues that need to be addressed personally.
Yeah.
That He is available for you to, by the Spirit's power, put to death those things.
Yeah.
That's the thing you should be focused on. And the workplace is a really, really good place for those things and those fleshly things in you that come up to be put to death.
Yeah.
They just are. Am I wrong about that?
No. Well, no. Well,
but see, like, that's, I think people can hear becoming a disciple, and this is why he points it out, and think that means, oh, a switch has been flipped, I'm holy, And it's all just a, it's all a posture.
Yes.
And like, oh, look how wrong they're doing this. Look how mistreated I'm getting from these people.
Right.
Look how, you know,
yes.
The politics of this place, the, you know, the injustice of it all.
Right. Yeah.
Rather than being like, oh, wait, no, actually, there's that huge plank in my eye that I need to get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but you know what I mean? Like, and this is bringing this up. And rather than run from that, which is what most of us do, or just be completely blind to it, we disregard it completely and think that all of our problems or all of the trouble,
yes,
all of the resistance, all of the adversity within this place, and how many people have, it's all other people's faults, what I'm trying to say, when that's not true. And how many people have, like, how easy would it be and tempting would it be to just remove yourself from a circumstance or a workplace environment on your own doing,
yeah,
without any leadership from Jesus whatsoever, simply because the thought is the grass is going to be greener somewhere else.
Yes.
And then all you're doing is taking your sin to that other place.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And nobody wants to talk about this.
No.
Because this is difficult. Yeah. Now we're getting accountable here. And that's, accountability is a curse word. Like real accountability.
Yeah, Well, I mean, we're talking about like... Well,
not the freaking vacation Bible school kind.
Absolutely.
The actual kind.
Well, this is the stuff that everybody wants to have out of school from Jesus.
Yeah.
Like this is world stuff. This is world stuff. So let's world it up, you know?
Yep.
And...
let's immediately turn it into self-help. Or...
Yes, yeah, or anything else. This is what the world's thrown at me, so like this is kind of out of the realm of needing to, you know, Christianity it up. Let's just go with kind of the best thing sort of thing here.
Yep. This is and an he's not involved politics here. Problem.
Yeah,
this
he's clearly not involved here. Like so, like you know, and obviously that's more thought than most people are going to put into this. Like they just do it, you know? I mean, and I'm talking about myself, you know, like I get this, understand this, but like that means that that is not discipleship to Jesus, just so everybody's clear.
Yeah.
And like, that's where you got to be like, that's where we have to be honest and we have to learn that we are actually removing a portion of our life away from him. And will not allow discipleship there when we're making those decisions already. That's the opposite of discipleship to Jesus. And that's exactly what he's saying here.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I'm glad that you brought that up. Yeah, so as circumstances call for them, special points of Jesus' teaching and examples, such as non-retaliation, refusal to press for financial advantage, consciousness of an appropriate assistance to those under special handicaps, and so on, would come into play, of course, and we should be watchful and prepared to meet any obvious spiritual need or interest in understanding Jesus with words that are truly loving, thoughtful, and helpful. That's an important concept to grasp. He also goes on to say, it is not true, I think, that we fulfill our obligations to those around us by only living the gospel. There are many ways of speaking inappropriately, of course, even harmfully, but it is always true that words fitly spoken are things of beauty and power that bring life and joy. And you cannot assume that people understand what is going on when you only live in their midst as Jesus' person. They may just regard you as one more version of human oddity. And then he kind of gives some stories about people who actually are attempting to live a Christian life, who in, you know, in the background, people are utilizing their, you know.
You can use the material different ways.
Yes. Yes, you can.
And that's going to be the case no matter where you are.
There's different kingdoms at play here, and that's still the case. Now, I do agree. I want to make one other point here, Phil, before we kind of move through this. Because this, to me, I think everybody can follow us here. I feel like the whole podcasts are leading to this point. And so we can hammer a few more things here, but I think we can go on from here. But I do want to point out, this is also where from my perspective, and you can correct me here, Phil, and anybody else who's listening, y'all can feel free to chime in on this. From my perspective, this is where the world doesn't need more salesmanship. We don't need more law here. And I think that's what he's trying to say, is that like, Understanding Jesus with words that are truly loving, thoughtful, and helpful. Those are important things to be able to meet people with. But if you don't have those to say and you don't have those things to offer, you're going to put your foot in your mouth and you're going to say things that might necessarily not be true or helpful. And a lot of that has to do with salesmanship to Jesus, not discipleship to Jesus, which we've talked about pretty well, I feel like. But nonetheless, dude, nobody's going to want to hear what you got to say about JC. And for sure, if your house isn't in order, or at least trying to get there. And that's just a reality, dude. Like, it's not helpful to correct people on things, especially consistency, when you are consistently not being the type of man or woman Jesus is trying to lead you into, and that you want to help people correct in their life. It's okay to want to help correct that, especially if you yourself are corrected in it or being corrected in it, and to offer words of life and how to lead to correction. But it is not. Condemnation engineering, once again, will only make Jesus and you look utterly foolish.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way for me to say that.
Yeah.
Once again, speaking from experience here. Right.
Yes. Because nobody needs another, like, nobody needs some more guesses.
No. Everybody's guessing.
Yeah. And I think that that's ultimately the issue.
But that's what it looks like, especially when you're selling things that...
Yes. Well, because if you actually knew what the kingdom was, you'd never try to sell it to begin with, because it's not sellable.
Not sellable.
There's the HSO for the day. Everybody who's selling Christianity doesn't know what it is. How about that? Because it's priceless, man.
Yeah.
That's always been a large part of my issue with the whole thing.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
It should be more like how can you quantify the value of family?
Yeah.
Or your role as a husband or a father?
It's a great question.
It should be the same thing.
Yes, it should.
It's like that. But, you know, hey man, we put a number on it all the time. And you know what? The moment you put a number on it is the moment the cross of Christ is robbed of its power.
Yes.
You're robbing it. You're robbing its power. Because you're not even entertaining the possibility that whole thing needs to die.
Yes.
So that the real thing can live. Oh no, well, except everything up to this point, but not any more than that.
Right.
And see, that's another example of guarding my temporal things, securing my temporal things from the eternal things.
Yes.
I can't lose this.
Right.
You know, this is my job. This is my livelihood. Now, I mean, damn, dude, that's the same thing for even what people would term as, quote, secular jobs. I mean, there's people out there right now, you know, that are incorrect. I mean, it's still an incorrect thought that this is a, quote, secular job.
Yes.
These categories don't exist.
Yes.
Hopefully very clear about that.
Yep.
But you are, the bitter truth is you are not allowing Jesus to disciple you in that job, because it's quite possible that growth in him might lead you away from it.
Yep.
And that, quite frankly, is not acceptable to you.
Yeah.
And we have all been there. We've all been there. Or we stay at a place, or only due to the fact that we're afraid of what it would mean to go away from it.
Right.
In all of its different shape. Well, I have to. I've got a mortgage to pay. I've got all these things. Dude, look, this is so freaking important, man. I don't know how else to make a disclaimer here. If you do not hold loosely to the things that you should be holding loosely to, and holding tightly to the things that you should be holding tightly to, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You just can't. It's not possible. Like, can he bless us unless he has us, Terrell?
I don't think it's even possible to imagine eternal things.
No, it does. It jacks with your thoughts about God. It jacks with your imagination about. No, it's true. Every bit of this gets infected.
Yes.
Every bit of it. Every single bit of it, man. And there is not a single thing in our... This is the power behind the statements that get so misunderstood that Jesus made when he walked the earth, which is unless you hate father and mother.
Yeah.
Unless you hate your wife and your kids. These people are like, well, he obviously, you know, they'll misunderstand that completely. What he's saying is, the one who, the one really with whom all reality is dealing with is in front of you right now.
Yes.
The one who created the things that you're holding on to so hard, so tightly to, is in front of you, giving you words of life. You need to be with me.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the whole point here, the thing that offends people is the thought that Jesus is saying, follow me at the expense of everybody else's health and wholeness and goodness and whatever. And to make that improper judgment of our Lord is literally it is evidence that you have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
None. Oswald Chambers calls it unconscious blasphemy.
Yeah.
Rocked my world the first time I read that. Because it nails everybody to the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And this is exactly what's going on. It's going on right now in most everybody's life.
Yes.
It's going on right now. Unconscious blasphemy of Jesus. You're not intending to do it. Like, this is not something that you're even aware of is happening in your own life.
Right.
But it's happening. The point where you have drawn a line, and you have.
We all have. Multiple lines.
Or multiple lines where it's like, I'll follow you if this is included.
Yes.
And guess what happens when you start negotiating with the king of all things? You found that both signatures are your own.
Yep. Yeah, that contract was signed by you and you.
Yeah, there is no, like, this is not, the gospel invitation, the invitation to repent and live in the kingdom is not a negotiation.
Yeah.
This is not where you're like, okay, sure, well, let me have this and you can have that. And we talk about this so much, man, because it's so important. Everybody is right here, right now. Everybody.
Yes. Yeah, about say 99.9%.
And there are many reasons why this is the case. This is the context we live in, and we've talked about the specifics. But like the just broadly speaking, this is you. We're talking to you right now,
yes.
Listener. You are doing this. I am doing this. We are all doing this. Something has happened to where this is the freaking mixture that we all live in.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's an American problem. I don't know. But Lewis was talking about it in Great Britain 60 years ago.
Yeah, it's clearly not.
Which is the concept is where this is where we get the whole concept from, is from him.
Right.
And the whole point is this, man, like, there is nothing that is out of, there's nothing that's out of school. Nothing. And if you are not willing to forsake everything and follow him, like just be open to the simple fact that you have not even begun discipleship yet.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Like you have to.
If
those who seek to like you cannot find life until you lose it.
Right.
Until you lose it, man.
Well, what?
He wasn't being like, these are pretty words.
Right.
Like, this is the real thing.
Yeah. One who does not know this way of job discipleship by experience cannot begin to imagine what release and help and joy there is in it. And to repeat the crucial point, if we restrict our discipleship to special religious times, the majority of our waking hours will be isolated from the manifest presence of the kingdom in our lives. It's harder to say it better than that, right? Those waking hours will be times when we are on our own, on our job. Our time at work, even religious work, will turn out to be a holiday from God.
Yep.
If we restrict our discipleship to special religious times, the majority of our waking hours will be isolated from the manifest presence of the kingdom in our lives. Those waking hours will be times when we are on our own, on our job. Our time at work, even religious work, will turn out to be a holiday from God.
Yes. Yeah, well, and that's perfectly said. Yeah. Well, it's perfectly said, and it's everything that I was just ranting about for a minute. But even the things, I think that this is what's important. Because I think all of us, even those of us who are just beginning our journey into being a disciple of Jesus, have, and this is what you pointed out just a second ago, like it affects even our imaginations in the kingdom. Because like every single one of us has an activity, a context, an environment that we imagine and think of and hold as sacred.
Yes.
Right? Where it's almost like this is a special thing. This is a thing where no matter what else, no matter if I lose everything else, like this thing is the thing that is where, like, you know, heaven meets earth. Yes. Or, and for some people, that's a nonprofit organization formerly known as a church.
Yes.
For other people, that's playing, you know, golfing at a golf course, you know, like there, it could be anything, right? Yeah. For some people, it's their household, it's their family.
Right.
This is what he says is like you, the point is though, is that these things can become, whenever it's really true, if some of it's not his, then kind of all of it will become not his.
Yes.
Even the things where it's like, ooh, no, I know for a fact this is a place where I experience, you know? But like,
no matter what happens, I can go to homeostasis here.
Yes, at a certain point in time,
that's going to be the same.
It's going to be absorbed into. Like, if you do not lose your life, you will not find it.
Yes.
The point is that there is no place that's out of school. There are no holidays from God. None of this is possible. It's not. The only way for it to become a possibility is for you to have some sort of incredibly messed up idea of how everything works. Now, the reason why you can even have that idea is because guess who you've been discipled by?
The world.
Everybody else who has that idea.
Yeah.
This isn't hard math here.
No.
So like, at a certain level, I get it. I get why everything's messed up. Because quite frankly, everybody's taught for everything to be messed up. We're all disciples of a thousand other teachers who have nothing to do with Jesus. And guess what? In some crazy, strange way, that house is not divided. It's very unified. You know? Like, he did, you know, nobody's, the only resistance that is felt is the one that is the kingdom of God.
It's true.
And that house is not divided either.
Nope.
It can't be. It's not possible.
Right.
But this really is like an all or nothing kind of a thing.
It really is.
There is no other, like there's no compromises here.
Yeah. Well, and
I mean, his grace is so great that we think that there are, you know what I mean? Like, but it's at the end of it all, you know, like Lewis says, if you didn't choose the kingdom, it won't matter what you've chosen instead.
No, because you're going to find,
because he even mentions things that seem super important culturally, like a seat in the cabinet, you know, a political job.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and even the things that people revile, like cocaine, whiskey, girls, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which one of those you chose. In the end, it'll be reduced to, well, it wasn't the kingdom.
Yeah.
So therefore you lost.
Yes.
Because the kingdom is inherently more valuable than everything else you could ever choose.
Yes. And when you do all these things in cooperation with kingdom life, they automatically,
you find life.
Yes, become real life.
And guess what gets actually folded into, right? And resurrected, you know? This is the point. The point is if I follow Jesus today, I will realize love for my family. I will actually love them.
Yes.
This is what he's saying, you know? Like, the world will teach you that the family is, you know, or you've got to love them in a certain kind of way. This is what it looks like.
Yeah.
To the exclusion of, to where even that pursuit is a holiday from God.
Right.
The only way to save that and cause that to be some a seed that goes into the ground and resurrects in a way that you could never imagine is to follow Jesus today in a way that really actually looks like, damn, I might be forsaking this.
Yes.
You know, that's the death you're supposed to die.
Yeah.
We're all supposed to die.
Yeah.
Because life can't come, resurrection can't come any other way. Like, that's the pattern.
Yes.
Death, resurrection. Take up your cross and follow me. This is the whole point. This is what he's talking about
here. Yes.
You know? And like, we just miss that invitation so easily. We miss it so quickly because we think we're smarter than him. And that's the reality of it. Yeah. Like, well, no, he couldn't possibly mean this.
Yeah.
Well, who gave you that? Who taught you that?
Yep.
It wasn't him.
Right.
You're being discipled by somebody else, man.
Yep.
We got to stop that stuff because it's going to end up destroying us.
Yes, it will.
And it's slowly. I mean, some of us are being destroyed slower than others.
Pretty slowly.
And some of us really quickly are being destroyed.
It's true.
But like, that's, if you want to try to find your life, you're going to lose it.
Yes.
And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, like he says at the very end, literally the next paragraph, on the other hand, if you dislike or even hate your job, a condition epidemic in our culture, the quickest way out of that job or to joy in it is to do it as Jesus would. This is the very heart of discipleship, and we cannot effectively be an apprentice of Jesus without integrating our job into the kingdom among us, or put whatever else in the space of job there. And that's exactly the point.
Yes. We're talking specifically about jobs today because we all specifically have one.
Yes.
And that is not a time of holiday away from him.
No. And if that's out of school, probably the majority of your life's out of school too.
Yes. You're living a categorical kind of life. You're living a slip of the tongue kind of life where you're guarding. You're trying to get, like, life is just, well, I said my prayers today.
Yep.
You know, I did my devotion.
Yes.
It's these special times.
Yeah, we did our thing. Let's go play.
Yeah. And dude, that will kill you every single time. That is not a life of discipleship. That is not anything amongst the kingdom of God.
No.
Or among a community of prayerful love. None of that stuff is real.
Yes. And I would say, Phil, I feel like it's good, especially in light of that last line. If you are hearing the podcast, and if you happen to be in this sort of transition, which, quite frankly, if you are approaching your job without Jesus, you are probably in that position. That's okay. So that's where the majority of
the whole desk needed to be died.
Yeah, of the world, sure. the majority of the world approaches their job in particular with one foot in, one foot out. I think that's a very accurate way to say it. Whenever it's time to, quote unquote, you know, move on, or this job's for the particular moment, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's just for money.
Yes, all those things.
Like, I'm only here because it's paying my, like, dude, that ain't good enough, man.
No, it's really not good enough.
It's going to kill you. You're going to get destroyed.
Yes.
And you're living such a small life that you're going to get consumed by that pursuit.
Yes.
It's not big enough.
And so, I think where we're being led today, I'll say it this way, me and Phil sitting here, and hopefully anybody else close to us, where we're being led is not thinking about being one foot in, one foot out today, but where, Jesus, are you needing more of my space today? Where are you needing more of the real estate that I've tried to build build walls and fences around that you can't have because I'm going to use them.
Yep.
And when all of a sudden, whenever the fence and the walled country land is our job, all of a sudden we find him in it. And that will, just like you just said, and like Willard said, but Jesus is pretty clear on this, that will either very quickly exclude you from being able to continue on in that position, or that will include, or that will all of a sudden, yeah, or that will all of a sudden open up, yes, joy and life and enjoyment in what you're doing because he's a part of it. Yes. Not because anything else changed.
Nope.
Except that the reality of life changed in it.
Yeah. Well, now you've entered into discipleship to him.
Yes.
And he'll use any of the material that we, I mean, it's all his to begin with.
Yes.
That we simply recognize that he's the Lord of.
Yep.
And yeah, like you said, it'll either be, oh, well, damn, there's the exit.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yep. You know? And it'll just be an exit into more life somewhere else with different material. But that's all it is. It doesn't make it weirder. It doesn't make it more holy.
And you'll still need
to... any of those things, because you're going to have to take discipleship into that arena too.
Yep. That's it. Same thing.
Right? Yep. Or it'll just
otherwise, you're going to keep noticing the same problems. Yeah.
I could still learn more from him in this place.
Yes.
And so I'm going to stay.
Yep.
More than likely...
issue
is discipleship.
Yeah. More than likely, that's a lot of us is going to find that one to be true.
Yeah. No, that's great, man. Yeah, we'll stop it there for this week.
I love it.
Woohoo. Peace out.
Yo.